Tabernacle. Good to see everyone. I'm imagining that I'm seeing you right now, even though we're not in person. I miss all of you. And I just pray that your faith is alive this morning. This is Taylor Tabernacle Live, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. At this time, we'll have prayer by Josh.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. I pray that you bless this sermon and that it will deliver a word to everybody who's watching and that you will heal the nation and the whole world as we go through this pandemic. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I have to confess, I've been sad. I've been really sad. But it's in this time that we remember who God is. Amen. And today is Palm Sunday. And sometimes it's easy to praise the Lord based on our circumstances. But today God is challenging us to praise Him for who He is. So Palm Sunday marks a day in church history when Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. So today we just rest in Him and who He is. He is our eternal hope. And so today we're going to challenge ourselves to truly praise Him this morning because He's our mediator. He's the reason why we have a relationship with God. So I know this season, this quarantine, this Lent season, God is working some stuff out in each and every one of us. My God. He's doing it all at once, like all of our issues. I believe He's dealing with that stuff this time, this season. And so we're just holding on to Him. We're giving Him the praise that's due His name. This Palm Sunday, I am going to praise Him. Despite of what we're going through, I am going to give Him praise. Before the rocks cry out on my behalf, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him, and at the same time, I'm going to weep. For those that are dying, for those that are sick, but we serve some kind of God, and He is worthy of all of our praise.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning, let's come get your Bible. Gabe and John, they're going to be coming. They're going to be reading the scripture out of Luke 19, verse 35 to 38. They're going to be reading New International Version. So if you can read along in the version that you have. And say amen as they come.
Luke 19:35-38. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As He went along, people spread their cloaks on the road.
When He came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Glory to God. Amen. I welcome you. Here today, my name is Reverend John Curson, here on the Taylor Tabernacle live broadcast, coming to you from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. Amen. And we invite you to grab your Bible, jump right in with us today. Amen. And we're going to spend most of our time in the Old Testament. We're going to go down to Exodus, the 20th chapter. Amen. I see that many are joining us on the line, so if you'll make your way to Exodus, the 20th chapter, we'll be there in verse 3, and then once you get there, we'll just be there shortly, we're going to jump down over to 1 Kings. When you get to 1 Kings, go to the 16th chapter, and the 29th verse. Amen. So good morning. I see you out there, Taylor, logging in. I see you out there, everyone else. So we're just so glad that you're here, and we're going to make our way again. We're in Exodus, the 20th chapter. That's verse 3. And then also 1 Kings, the 16th chapter, amen, and the 29th verse. Amen, amen. So we're glad to be in God's house today. If you're in your house and God is with you, amen, and you're a believer, amen, then you're in God's house today, amen. So if you're there with me in Exodus, you're going to see these two verses, amen. Verse 3 says, if you want, do like we do at church. If you want, stand for God's word, amen. If you want, stand in the presence of God's word today. If you want to sit down, sit down. But it says there, it says, you shall have no other gods before me, amen. So whether you were standing up or sitting down, you should be able to get that word. Exodus 20 and the 3rd chapter, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. It says, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the 3rd and 4th generations of those who hate me. Amen? So that was Exodus, the 20th chapter. When we jump to 1 Kings 16 and 29, we find there it talks about King Ahab reigning in Israel. And it says there that in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel, and Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all that were before him. Amen? And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. This is the king of Israel we're talking about. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings of Israel who went before him. Amen. So as we settle into God's word, if you would just pray with me for a moment. Most holy God, we humbly stand before thee now. Capture our hearts. For you are the Most High God, and there is none above you. Through your word, bring to our remembrance that you are the one who created the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. That in you we live, we move, and we have our being. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, O Lord, from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We seek you now. Guide our time together, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we thank God that we're able to gather in this way, amen. And just on this day, on this great morning, I'm looking outside and the sunshine is here, amen. God's presence is here, and I'm greeting you today on what was scheduled to be the Final Four basketball championship weekend, amen. This was Final Four weekend, amen. One of the greatest events in college sports, and Forbes magazine reports that the event has never been canceled in its 81-year history. Amen. It was an event that was going to bring to the city of Atlanta $100 million impact. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that $100 million, I want you to know that $100 million, that's big dollars. That's big dollars. If we break that $100 million down, that's a lot of buffalo wings, right? That's a lot of office brackets and family bets. Amen. That's a lot of TV ads. That's a lot of jerseys and other clothing. Amen. And since it's Atlanta, that's a lot of Coca-Cola that's not going to be drank at that event. I mean, $100 million, 100 million ways. Amen. Glory to God. And here we are. We find ourselves, instead of watching the game on the big screen that we picked up last Black Friday, we're watching reruns of the 2010 Butler versus Duke game, or at best maybe we're shooting a few baskets in the driveway. Amen. This year March Madness is really March Madness. Amen. And my question for you this morning, church, is how do you feel about that? Amen. How do you feel shut down in the house? Amen. What's going on in your heart? How do you feel about that, church? What's going on in your mind this morning? Amen. No Final Four. No school. No work. Amen. Everything's messed up. Amen. Even the news anchors are working from home. Amen. Come on, church, how are you feeling about that? Amen. Glory to God. I'm not sure how you're watching today. I don't know if someone's in the room with you or if you're there by yourself. But if somebody's there with you, tell them, look over at them and say, cancel the game. God's got this. Amen. Amen. If you're in the room by yourself, amen, get on that chat line. Type it in to the chat room. Tell the chat room, cancel the game. God's got this. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, you know, we found ourselves in 1 Kings and at the end of chapter 16, and we find that although Ahab was the king of Israel, he had not quite learned the Ten Commandments that God had placed before his people. Amen. Way back in Exodus, where it said, you shall have no other gods before me. You should not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Amen. God makes it plain. Amen. And I'm not going to put it all on King Ahab. It was not simply his fault of him rising to power at a specific point in time, but this was generations of idolatry, amen, generations of God's people putting separation between themselves and God. It was generations of high places being raised against God, generations of lewd acts and violence, amen. When King Ahab carved the Asherah pole, Israel found itself on the wrong side of God's jealousy. And now judgment was on the way. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God canceled the game. Amen. When we slide a little bit further into chapter 17, we find here the announcement from Elijah. Judgment has come for Israel. Verse 17, chapter 17, verse 1 says, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Amen. There will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. That's what the Lord said. Judgment had come. Amen. Elijah suddenly drops into the scene. One of the greatest prophets recorded in the Bible, but no other introduction of him. No backstory. He doesn't say that he was from important lineage. It doesn't mention that he was from some great family. And interesting as that was, just as interesting, Elijah drops in and immediately gains the audience of the king. Amen. So this prophet just comes in and he pronounces judgment, and it's just as quickly as he came in, he departs from the king. He leaves his presence. No additional conversation was recorded. No argument, no debate. Judgment had come. But there was no immediate response from the king. Judgment had come to the land, but King Ahab is so deep into his sin, meaning that he's so separated from God that he doesn't even recognize that he's just received a word from God. Think about this, church. Ahab is the king of Israel, but he's not hearing from the God of Israel. Amen? Ahab had a title, king of Israel, but it says he was more focused on creating high places for Baal than the God of Israel, our God who created the earth and the sea and all that in them is. Amen? Now, if we fully study the text in chapter 16, we understand that King Ahab was not the first king to turn away from God, but over generations of time, sin separated the king and the people of Israel from the God of Israel. Amen. God's people chose idols, things that they could see and touch above God's presence. God's people valued their own work, their own creativity above the value of what God had already purposed in the earth. Amen. God's people scheduled their time lifting up the image of Baal and left little time in remembrance of Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the God of Israel, whose resume of victories was long and undefeated. When we say, well, he did it, yes, he will, that's our God with whom all things are possible. Yet God's people found themselves too busy. Amen. At the word of the Lord pronounced from Elijah, King Ahab and the people of God did not recognize what had just happened. But then everything stopped. Judgment was not only spoken, but it had become a reality. Amen. Amen. But if you're with your neighbor right now, if you're texting on the chat line, I want you to tell them two things. Church today is, the first thing to say is that today is judgment. But it's not destruction. Amen. Tell your neighbor it's judgment, but it's not destruction. Amen. Tell them, secondly, cancel the game. God's got this. Amen. Come on, let me say it this way. Cancel the game. Change your focus. God's got this. Amen. Glory to God. Let's continue. Let's spend some time in this chapter 17, and if we go back to verse 2, we'll find Elijah, and it says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here. He said, get out of the presence of the king, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So Elijah did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread. If you're listening, say bread. Amen. They brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Amen. So here, God teaches us that there's still provision in this drought. Amen. Remember, this is judgment, but not destruction. There's provision in the drought. Amen. Although God did not allow the amount of rain required for a bountiful harvest, amen, he did allow enough for there to be some bread and some meat. Amen. Glory to God. God allows for there to be some bread and some meat. Amen. God sends Elijah, his messenger, to a specific place. And Elijah again obeys. Elijah doesn't try to find his own hiding place, but Elijah follows the voice of the Lord. Amen. Listen for the voice of the Lord. Amen. And when Elijah arrives, he finds an unusual source, meaning the ravens, an unusual source takes care of him. Amen. So I'm going to take a moment to speak to the pastors. Amen. Pastors, if you're listening now, the encouragement for you is that in these lean times, keep obeying the voice of the Lord. Amen. Provision will come, and it just might come from an unusual source. Amen. It may not be the offering that you're used to. Amen. It may not be an excessive gift, not a tenfold gift, not a hundredfold gift, but God will sustain the work of the Lord for his name's sake. Amen, pastors. Now for the church, for the body of Christ, be encouraged in this. Amen. The voice of the Lord is not far away. Just as the life of the Lord is only an email distance from you. Amen. It's only a streaming video's distance from your ear. Amen. Glory to God. And not only that, but just as God sustained Elijah with bread and meat, God will do that for us today. Amen. The ravens, you see, they took a portion from the people of God, and in a short flight's distance, they delivered bread and meat to Elijah. Amen. That's how God took care of Elijah. He gave to the people first. Amen. And out of that took a portion. Amen. And he was just a bird's flight distance to get it to the man of God. Amen. The word of God is being protected. Amen. It's not far from us, and it's prepared to come for us at an appointed time. Amen. Come on. Cancel the game. Amen. If I can add in there, shut off the news. Change your focus. God's got this. Amen. God will provide. And it may be from an unusual source. But if we can get over ourselves, amen, God's got this. Come on back with me to chapter 17. Let's drop down into verse 7. It says here, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. I'll pause here to point out that when it was time to move, God does not send Elijah directly back to the church. Amen. Meaning the people of Israel. Nor does he allow King Ahab to find him. Instead, Elijah is sent to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, and your Bible may tell you that this is in Samaria. Amen. And if you're familiar with Samaria at all, maybe you don't know anything else about it, but you at least know that this is where the Gentiles lived. Amen? This is where what they would say the unchurched lived. Not where Israel resides, but God sends Elijah to Sidon. And when we read, it says, he came to the town gate, and a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, please bring me a piece of bread. Amen. So Elijah under the instruction of the Lord, he speaks humbly, but also with authority. Amen. She replies in verse 12, the widow says, as surely as the Lord God your lives, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Amen. That's a little deep. The widow, she replies, and she replies respectably and politely, but she also speaks out of the reality of her situation. Amen. Meaning she responded to the word of the Lord from the perspective of what she could see, what she was dealing with. Amen. And the widow from Sidon was like many that we will encounter during these days. Amen. She's doing the best that she can. She's caring for her household. She's worried and scared, but she's still working. Amen. She's gathering sticks while her provision is running dry. But her mannerism is still polite. Amen. Amen. She's respectful. She's polite. And in verse 13, Elijah replies, he speaks to that. He says, don't be afraid. He's giving her the word of the Lord. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. Listen for the word of the Lord. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain into the land. Amen. So Elijah again responds humbly and with authority. And he speaks to change her perspective, to change her focus, and to move her from desperation to faith. Amen? Elijah pronounces the word that while there is judgment in the drought, there will not be destruction for her house. Amen? Verse 15, she's obedient. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. Amen. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Amen. So I'm here to tell you today there's a call for prayer. Amen. And the first call for prayer today is for provision. Amen. For physical health to be restored and burdens to be lifted. Amen. So I'm asking for every intercessor, every prayer warrior, every member of the body of Christ. Amen. To pray that first call this week. Pray to the Lord for provision. Pray to the Lord for physical health to be restored and burdens to be lifted. Amen. Pray that every soul will change their focus from desperation to faith and will receive the blessing of the Lord. Amen. The world needs us praying now. Pray to Jehovah Nissi for another victory. Pray to Jehovah Rapha for another healing. Pray to Jehovah Jireh that there will be the sustaining provision of the Lord, not only over the church, but over the entire world. Amen? Glory to God. Cancel the game. Shut off the news. Change your focus. Pray. God's got this. Amen? Now there's a second call to our prayer. And we find this in the final verses of chapter 17. When we read further, it says sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house, the son of the widow, became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. Amen. Breathe. Glory to God. She said to Elijah, now she's a little bit disturbed. She says to Elijah, what have you against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? So verse 19, Elijah says, give me your son. He takes him in. Elijah replies and he takes him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Then he cries out to the Lord, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched out himself on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, verse 22, and the boy's life returned to him and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Amen. The widow, the woman says to Elijah, glory to God, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. Amen. She says, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. Amen. The second call, church, the second call in prayer this week is for revival. Church, the world needs to know that the word of the Lord that we speak in our mouth is the truth. Amen. Although there is not judgment over the land, although there is judgment over the land today, this is not the time to remind the unsaved about their sin, but rather to speak to the glory of God and the gift of salvation available to us. This is the time to speak of the power of God to save, heal, and deliver. Revival is for all the earth, including an unlikely people, not the chosen people, but even those outside the church, those who had been left out. Amen. Physical restoration is not enough. Physical restoration leads us back to old ways and old thoughts. But spiritual restoration is eternal. Amen? When we are born again, the old man passes away. The new man is raised up. Amen? Our thoughts move away from our situation and they move to the place where God is. Amen? Spiritual restoration is revival. The breath of God literally empowering us in the purpose that He designed for us. Amen? In spiritual revival, glory to God, God's truth prevails. And the hard issues are no longer hard. Amen? For we accept that God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen? God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. In spiritual revival, the grace of God has found us. We receive His forgiveness. We acknowledge our faults before Him. And in exchange, God frees us to an eternity in His presence where there is fullness of joy and an abundance of mercy. Amen. The rain that cometh is the revival of God's people. the body of Christ revived, renewed, full of mercy and compassion, full of fire, not worn out, available for the work of the Lord. Amen. Cancel the game. God's got this. Amen. God is calling for our hearts. The end of this thing, listen, will be revival. Amen. The end of this thing will be revival. Amen. Come on, I close by bringing you in John 3:16-17, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Remember this. God's love is bigger than our sin. Amen. Jesus has offered grace and forgiveness to all who would receive. Amen. God says that we've all fallen short of his original purpose for us, and that even though we have separated ourselves from him, God sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty for our faults. So now, right from your home or from wherever you might be listening, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with the mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You say, saved from what, preacher? It says, saved from a life without God. Saved from a life without a relationship with eternal God, our Creator, the one who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Amen. And so if you're making that decision right now, call us. Amen. If you're making that decision right now, email us. Send a note through the chat line. Get on our website. Get on our social media channels. Amen. Come in connection with us that we can pray with you, amen, and to help guide you through the word of life, the Bible, the holy word of God, amen. Glory to God. Let's praise him together right where you are in your house today. Let's praise him. Come on, the church line. Our phone number is 215-748-4578, amen. Our website is taylortabernacle.com. Come on, connect with us and let's celebrate what God is speaking over your life in your home right now. Glory to God. Give him praise. Have faith to praise him right now. Right where you are, lift up the name of God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Cancel the game. Glory to God. Change your focus. Glory to God. God's got this. Glory to his name. We thank you, oh Lord. We give you praise. Glory to God. I'm just going to pray with you for a moment. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together. Glory to your name. Lord, if there's someone on the other side of this line right now that's making a decision for you, oh God, Father, as they have responded to you, God, respond to them now. Send the Holy Spirit over them right now in the name of Jesus. Touch them in their heart, oh God, that they might know that you are real, that your word is true, oh God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in Jesus' name, God, right now, connect them. Connect them with a Bible-believing Christian. One who will break down God's word for them. One who will have mercy on them. One who will not remind them of their sin, but will have compassion over them. Father, in the name of Jesus, connect them right now. Even during their shutdown. Even while we're shut in our own homes. Father, let the internet work. Father, let the phone work. God, in the name of Jesus, glory to God, connect the body of Christ. Connect the unsaved. Father, connect the village of Sidon, oh glory of God, that we, oh Lord, might have a revival all over this earth. Glory to your name. Father, in this we believe in you, oh God. We have faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Take some time and worship him. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. 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 Hallelujah. 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 You know, if we were at Taylor Tabernacle right now, if we were in our church building, if you that are listening were in your church today, I'm sure right now that the altar would have the presence of the Lord, and those that were in need would come. Amen. We're on this broadcast, and I want the worship to continue in your house, but I do want to transition just to give a small word, amen, about our giving today. I just, if you joined us today, if you see that the word of the Lord is at Taylor Tabernacle, amen, we're just praying that you would support us, amen. Our members, we're letting you know, our members right now, you can still to give of your tithes and your offering, amen. There's instructions on our website, taylortabernacle.com/giving. Amen. Follow those instructions. You can give in three ways. You can mail it. You can go U.S. Postal Mail and mail a check to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, P.A., zip code 19139. Amen. Some of our folks, some of the members, you've been giving via text message. You've been texting on your phone. You get in there and you text to the phone number 73256. You text that to that number and you put in there passcode Taylor61. Amen. And what happens? You get a link back that'll help you complete your donation. Amen. So glory to God. We're still in worship. Glory to God. I rush through that point of giving, amen. You do as the Lord puts on your heart, amen. You do as the Lord's instructing you, amen. That is there for us. But this is what I want to do. I want to remind you right now, amen, that our deacons and our prayer team are waiting for you, amen. 215-748-4578. Call and if you get the voicemail, leave a message. We're going to get right back to you. Amen. And for more immediate response, go right to our website, taylortabernacle.com. You'll see there a tab for contact us. If you made a decision for Christ today, contact us on that page. Let us know, glory to God, so we could connect with you. If you have a prayer request, put it on the prayer request tab. Amen. We will connect with you. Amen. And I want to say this. We're so glad that you joined us on this broadcast today. And if you want to help us out in a small way, this is also what you can do. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Amen. Glory to God. Subscribe to our social media, our YouTube channel. Amen. We're looking for 7 new subscribers this week. Amen. Glory to God. So send the message out. If you enjoyed the message and you're already subscribing, Pastor Ford will be back next week. You don't want to miss that, so subscribe. Amen. We're looking for 7 new subscribers this week. Amen. Send that message out. Make sure the folks know how to get to us. Amen. Get your neighbors on board. Amen. And Pastor Jonathan Ford will be back here 10 a.m. next week as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we're getting ready to end. Amen. But we also, for those, if you know someone that maybe can't connect over the audio, but they know how to dial in, Amen. We also have an audio stream that's going to be available at 1 o'clock. Amen. So 1 o'clock, we have an audio stream. Somebody type in that chat line right now. Type what that number is. Amen for that. I'm trying to pull it up myself. Amen. Let's see, it's 775. So at 1 o'clock, if you know anybody that was unable to join via the internet, but they have a regular phone and can dial in, they can hear the audio only broadcast at 1 o'clock just by dialing into area code 775-799-9141. Amen. So glory to God. We thank you for this time we had together. Amen. Remember, stay connected. Remember, change your focus. God's got this. Amen. Glory to God.